I always love to say that we're a furniture company disguised as a home stager. So really, it's wherever furniture needs to be, that's where Set the Stage needs to be as well.
Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's guest is redefining the art, the business of home staging. I'm thrilled to welcome Courtney Clark, founder of Set the Stage, a fast-growing home services franchise in the U.S. What started in 2016 with a simple vision has grown into a national brand with over 50 locations sold. And honestly, they're just getting started. But here's the twist. Set the Stage isn't just a home staging business. Over 50% of their revenue comes from furniture sales, turning every staged home into a retail showroom. It's a very clever, high-margin, multi-revenue stream model serving home sellers, real estate agents, investors, and property managers. The stats also don't lie. Stage homes sell faster and for more money. In fact, a professionally staged home can fetch up to $40,000 over asking and sell up to 30% faster. If you've ever wondered how to turn interior design into a scalable business or how to dominate a $5, $6 billion industry riding the real estate wave, this conversation is for you. Enjoy the show. I'm happy you're here. It's a very cool concept. No pun intended on the Set the Stage. That's the brand we're talking about today. But tell us, how did you get involved in this? Like, what's your journey been to this point? Because you're growing very quickly and you're in a very cool category that I like. So I'm happy to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. And I love sharing the story because one of the things that I love about our brand is that this isn't something that you have to be in the design space to be in this business and to be good and successful in this business. So a little bit about me, I did commercial insurance for years. And no one wakes up and says, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I want to be an insurance agent or a CSR. Like, no one really wants to do that. Right. But I loved the insurance company I worked at. And I loved it because I was on the commercial side. So I worked with a lot of business owners. And even though the conversations were just centered around insuring risk to their business, it was really interesting to see the rise and fall in different businesses. And then looking a little bit deeper at why did this business owner, you know, do better than this one over here? Why are they growing? This one's shrinking, et cetera. So I think early on, a little seed of entrepreneurism was planted there. That was part of that, right? So fast forward, the opportunity to buy an existing staging company came about. And it made a lot of sense. So originally there were three partners, myself and two other women. And it made a lot of sense for us to go into this business because we all had real estate interests at the time. Mm-hmm. And so buying a staging company would definitely complement those pieces. And really early on, we realized we bought ourselves a job and not actually a business. And we were kind of faced with this, okay, we can either really turn this thing upside down and on its head and just give it all we got, or we can choose to back off and just sell it off to somebody else. So obviously being here with you today, you can imagine what we did. And we basically just put blinders on to what other staging companies were doing. Mm-hmm. And we really built what we wanted to have. So obviously staging isn't this, like, we didn't stumble upon something that was revolutionary, like, man, put some beautiful furniture and decor in a home and it's going to help sell it. That wasn't something, this novel concept we stumbled upon. But what we did was we recognized that there is so much potential to really create a thriving business in the staging industry.
Right, right. Absolutely. I like that you started as a resale, same name or rebranded?
We rebranded completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were actually the Key Design, and that felt very interior design to us. And we would actually get a lot of phone calls based on interior design, which we love. And we love serving and having our partners of interior designers, but we want to stick to what we're good at, which is staging and our furniture sales, which I'm excited to get to with you. One of the things that we do, but yeah, we were the Key Design. And then the idea came from my partner at the time that, hey, I think we need something on a more national scale that really, like, no pun intended, right, sets the stage for That's what right. we do, and Set the Stage was born.
That is very smart. Naming matters. A lot of people don't put enough thought into it. They want to use their name. No one wants to buy a business with your name on it, right? I mean, if people don't think about the exit strategy of building a business, you know, maybe the exception would be Tim Hortons, where it's like someone's name, right? But But in most cases, no one really wants to buy the name of someone else. So I love that you renamed it. And I love that it's more associated with what you're doing, because it causes brand confusion. And that little bit of brand confusion could be the difference between we can't grow this franchise to we're going to sell our 50th location.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of, where are you today? Are you still that one corporate location and then you scaled multiple franchisees? What's that number today?
Yeah, that's right. So we still have the corporate location here in the Salt Lake Valley. From that, we've got a couple more Utah locations that are all franchise owned. And where we're at today is we have 50 locations at this time.
That's quite a milestone. Congratulations. And if you hit 100, as you know, most brands will never see 100. So the fact that you've done 50 units and you started in 16, but you sold your first franchise in 22.
Yeah. So it was December 27th, 2022. Holy. I still have the date right there in my heart. Like, I'm never going to forget it. I remember that moment of just really partnering with these four incredible individuals and that feeling that instantly it's like, okay, the vision and the idea to franchise was there really early on. We knew in 2017, our path was we wanted to grow this business via franchising. And it made a lot of sense for us because we watched what was happening in our team dynamics. And in the insurance side of things, we insured a lot of franchises. Mm-hmm. So getting a taste of what that looked like really sparked something of, okay, that's a really good route to go. So early on, we brought in mentors that some were franchisees, some were franchisors. And it was really this process of, okay, what works, what doesn't work? What do people like? What do they not like? How do you really make sure that it's going to be sustainable? So the idea of franchising came on 2017, and 2020 was the year we intended to franchise. FDD was done, right? FDD was done. You could literally feel our momentum. You could walk into the room with us and you could feel something's about to shift and change. We just didn't obviously realize what that actually was going to be a pandemic. Right. The beauty in that, though, was that for us as business owners, it allowed us to really strengthen our partnerships. We use our wholesale vendors to be able to supply our franchisees with what they need to have a better, growth trajectory and, you know, just key elements there. But in that, COVID really allowed us to pivot. It showed us our strengths and great partnerships, ones that we realized we needed to pivot away from. So honestly, it was for me, when I look back, it was totally a God moment of, hey, we're going to pause this and this is going to be okay. We're going to pivot. This is going to be a year of pivot. And then we got our feet wet again, got ourselves picked back up, dusted off, recalibrated some things, got right partners in place, and we began to get to work with franchising.
Real estate, though, was an essential service. You remained open during COVID, no?
We did. Yes, okay. That's exactly right. We did.
A lot of people are now, after COVID, obviously a lot of investors are saying, has this brand weathered the housing crisis? Has this brand weathered COVID? Can it weather a recession? And the reality is, yes, real estate is an essential service. Millions of transactions a year. I mean, pre-COVID, I think we were selling over 5 million homes a year in this country, right? Just recently, because of inventory constraints, because of low interest rates, we're selling maybe 1 million homes fewer than we did on a normal year. But it's still 4 million, over 4 million transactions.
That's right.
Right. I mean, this is not a small number. There's 50 states, there's 4 million transactions. So there's a lot going on. Plus, you have the rental piece, and we're gonna get into that in a minute. You're not what I refer to as a one-legged stool. It may seem like home staging, but what you've been masterful at is creating multiple revenue streams. So congrats on the 50. That is a very big deal for a young brand. You're doing great on the front. Did you outsource franchise development? Because that is an unusual growth rate for a new franchisor. Are you outsourcing franchise sales to an FSO?
Yes. So we partnered with Fran Growth. And
right,
they've been outstanding.
Say,
yeah.
is that Dan Glazier? Who is that?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I love Dan. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, Dan is good people.
It's been a great partnership.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. I was going to say that's an unusual growth rate, you know, and we can edit it, right? Or I was just going to say to you, come on, what did you do? Sell a 10 pack? to someone. It's like, no, these are real numbers. Good for you.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what I mean? A lot of people do a multi-unit deal and they'll go, yeah, we sold our 50th location. And it's because one person did an area development deal for 20 units. And it's, you know, figures lie and liars figure. These are real numbers. This is a real 50. How many are operational?
Yeah, so we have 33 up and operational at this time.
Good.
There's still a couple that are working through their pipeline, right? Going through getting their studio set up, things like that.
You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Phrenosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit us on the web at phrenosity.com. That's phrenosity.com. We look forward to working with you. You made a comment that you don't. I would say that you have to be not Martha Stewart, right? But you have to understand color palettes, right? What's trending? Neutral tones? Is it this shade of gray or is it the beige? You don't have to have any of that. Like, you could teach this.
Yeah. So I love that. I don't have any interior design background at all.
Okay.
And most of our owners do not either. I mean, we've got owners that have a tech background, engineering background. So what really our business model and what I'm proud that we've built is that as long as you have an interest in this. So I don't think that our brand attracts someone who isn't interested in design or furniture. And I love that our brand, again, is parallel. It runs with the real estate industry, yet it's not property management. Mm-hmm. And it's not the investor side of things. We just are able to serve that community, but we're not just held to that, right? I always love to say that we're a furniture company disguised as a home stager. So really it's wherever furniture needs to be, that's where Set the Stage needs to be as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for us, but I feel like owners who do really well, they are attracted to design elements. They have an interest in that of some way, shape, or form. But honestly, we have a couple of owners that they came to us because they wanted something in the real estate industry, but they didn't want to be tied to property management. So this opened up more avenues for them. So with our teaching program and just the training models we have, yes, I do believe as long as you have an interest, we can teach you to be a really fantastic stager. And then the beautiful part about our brand is that it naturally attracts people who want to work here. And man, I've got a team right now at Salt Lake Valley, 100% they could outstage me. And that's a really cool feeling as an owner that, yes, I definitely can do a good job, but they can outstage me any day. And that's so cool that our clients are being served that way.
I like what you said. You're a furniture company, right? And a lot of people don't know what business they're in. It's like, no, you're not in the real estate business. You're in the furniture business. You know, you're not in the motion picture business. You're in the entertainment business. Like, all these businesses misunderstand who they really are at their core and what the consumer views them as. So I like what you said. I also, let's go through some of those revenue streams, right? So obviously, furnishing sales make up the lion's share of revenue. Let's break down the actual service provided and the percentage of revenue as it relates to the business.
Yeah, I love that. So we have our core, which is staging. So we stage vacant homes that are for sale, right? I always like to tell people, in case you're wondering, well, what is it? I mean, is it setting a stage for a production company? Or is it a model home? It's, you know, that's what it is. So we're taking a home that is either vacant or it needs to be, have some tender love and care to it for an existing home that's going to be lived in. And we're going to make it just enhanced. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it better. So marketing tool for real estate agents and for builders. And then the other piece that we discovered really early on and that set us apart was the fact that we were offering our furniture for sale. And it really started to really be attractive to so many people because, you know, HGTV and the Magnolia Network, they were taking off. And we were all just, you know, consuming this wonderful content that was flipping houses. And at the end, they weren't showing you a flipped house just vacant and how it was. They were, you know, putting the capstone on it of beautiful furnishings. But then people wanted that turnkey. And there was something about having the Pinterest home that really people were after. So we found that we were tired of saying no to clients, like, no, sorry, because typical staging, you don't get your next job unless you've got your furniture, right? That's how your doors get opened. And being mindful that your furniture is trending, being mindful that your furniture is in good repair and something that can still command that value. There's your service, but there's also what you bring with it. So we were able to start turning furniture over quicker and being able to say yes to clients because we began to sell all of our furniture and people were buying rooms and houses completely furnished by us. So right now, how it sits with those two different elements, whether we're doing short-term rentals, midterm rentals, model homes, or just simply selling the furniture from the home, when you're looking at our revenue streams, we're about a 50-50 split. But we've got our piece that comes from real estate and staging the homes, right? That's our door open. But the other piece comes from really selling that furniture to those end users.
Interesting. And it could be the same customer. So it's like you rented, let's just, is that the phrase we're going to use? We're renting, leasing?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
So, and then
not necessarily the same customer, because if you're the homeowner, right, Cliff, you're listing your home, you hire us to stage it. Where we try to tap into with someone like you is, hey, on your way to your new home, if you need any new furnishings, let us know. We want to be your go-to. But now our objective is to appeal to the masses who are going to tour your home. So our objective is, I want you to see value in this home. I want you to have an experience in this home. I want to stand out in the market. Like, I want to do that for you as our client. Mm-hmm. And then that end user that's walking through, I want to be able to provide something that when they get in there, they're saying, oh my gosh, this is the sectional that fits here perfectly. This is the dining room that could not have been better picked for all of the, you know, different elements of the home.
Interesting. As you know, I have a place near you.
Yes.
Could I have literally contacted you to furnish it?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? And would it have been what is the benefit of going to you versus I'll pick a name that maybe the nation knows, a City Furnisher, an Ashley, a Rooms to Go. is there a purchasing power to going directly to you versus a 100,000 square foot showroom?
Yeah, that's right. As not only your time, right? Leveraging your time and saying, okay, I don't want to have to go deal with all of this. One thing I love about our model is that with our owners, you don't have to have a storefront, right? It's not a brick and mortar that needs to have that storefront with those hours. And we actually really encourage our owners, and our model sits where, hey, getting a warehouse space that has anywhere between 15 to 2,000 square feet is going to serve you really well as you grow your business. Perfect example, when we were first starting, we started out in a 1,250 square foot warehouse, and we grew our inventory to 17 homes. So we could be staging 17 homes at one time in that small space. Then we increased that to 2,500, and we increased our inventory between 25 and 30 at any given time. So when we encourage our owners to do this, what we're finding is that your furniture is constantly churning, right? It's being exposed. We like to tell people, when your furniture's out and if you've got 25 homes staged, basically you have 25 temporary mini bricks and mortars that someone's paying you to showcase your inventory and product, which is where furniture was built for, right? It's built for these homes. It's not built to sit into a box or in a showroom floor. So one of the things that sets us apart for a customer such as yourself, if we were to, completely furnish a second home or a vacation home, is that because we don't have that overhead, we're bringing that furniture in and getting it into the project quickly. So we don't have that big overhead. We don't have these, showroom salesmen or women on the floor that add to that increase of that price. And we do get all of our furniture at wholesale. And because of what Set to Stage is doing and what we've built and just the intentionality behind those relationships, we're getting product at really deep discounts that I'm so grateful we get to pass on to our owners, that they're tapping into that buyer power. And the more that Set to Stage grows, that just continues to strengthen those partnerships.
Doing some research, I came across some of the items that you highlighted as a wholesale transaction, whether it be a coffee table, dining room set. So I was blown away. So the margin has to be there. I mean, just looking at what your cost, right? I'm looking at your costs and I'm looking at what the suggested retail is. It's a very healthy margin selling furniture, and obviously a very healthy margin if you're just temporarily leasing it. This furniture can't get too banged up, right? I mean, you buy a dining room set. Is anyone even really using the dining room set when it's in a model?
Yeah, no one really is, right? So it's sitting there temporarily. And honestly, what we're finding is that we're not moving it a lot. And even if we did, oftentimes people are either wanting to buy the one that's there in the home, or they're wanting a brand new one. Some people are just, nope, I really want brand new out of the box, and we can do that. So we're keeping that piece as a sample piece, if you will, moving it on to the next, like, hey, why fix what's not broken? People are loving this. Let's keep it, and let's just keep rinse and repeat this thing. But yeah, we're finding that the furniture is not getting as banged up. We also use professional movers in all of our moves. So we teach that to our owners and pass that along. We're working on strengthening different partnerships with moving companies. But that piece there also is something that we're hiring professionals who know how to wrap and move furniture effectively. So that's minimizing the risk of damaging furniture, even in that sense. And then if I've got a piece that I've had three stages, I'll offer a discount on that piece when that sells. But most of the time, it's selling quickly.
Interesting. My business partner and I, this may or may not translate to your business, but you're reminding me of something we used to do. We would do trade shows sometimes every other week all across the country in franchising. This is pre-COVID. And when we would land, we would use a service similar to yours to set up the trade show floor with the silk plants, with furniture, invite people in on the aisle, sit down. It's like you're hanging out in our living room. And then at the end of the show, you took it all back. And I thought that was a really unique angle to just land in Houston and then boom, stage our 20 by 20 or 10 by 20 trade show booth with what had a feel, a little credenza, a little console with a TV on it, on a loop. It actually had a feel. And that's, part of selling and part of making people feel comfortable. It's just come on and sit down. Like, what brings you to the trade show? What's going on? Oh, I hate my job. Right. So it was cool to see, all the different things that a business like yours can do. What do you think the mix is of residential versus commercial as a customer?
We primarily do residential.
Okay.
A lot of our furniture vendors are, built for the residential market. We do have a contact in commercial. I mean, there's lots of them. We do have a pretty strong one in the commercial side. It's a different animal. So we love to be able to, serve and do those opportunities when they come up. But honestly, we're way more focused on residential.
Recently, my wife and I visited a builder and they're like, oh, we actually have that model. It's not done yet. They always got to tell you, right? So we go and we walk through it. And I don't have the head to figure this out. I don't know what the house looks, feels like. I don't know the ceiling height. I have no gauge of, is this a big room, a little room, looking at a blueprint. So we walk through a model, not done yet. No furniture. This is the master. I guess so. I trust you if you tell me this is the master. There's no gauge, right? There's no gauge of furniture, size, anything, feel. Can I walk around, the movement of the room? Nothing. Then we walk into a model. It's like, I'll take it. Just like that. Just because there's furniture, furniture, artwork, I get the flow. I know that's the master. Guest room, there's the office. I love the living area. I love the ceiling height. It's beautiful. We'll take it. That's the difference between staging and not staging. It's literally the difference between I'll buy it and I'm really not sure we're going to keep looking. Wild.
That's right. That sells experience too, right? So this is one thing I tell people all the time. Builders are not dumb. Like, that's a smart industry and a really wonderful industry. If they did not have to do model homes and spend that money, I promise you they would not. They do it because it works, absolutely, because it's effective, because we as humans buy on experiences. I was going to tell you this, circling back to this furniture piece. When we were in COVID, everyone was forced inside. So one of the things that really was so special about what we were able to do is that sales and real estate started to fluctuate just a little bit, but we were able to tap in and say, well, if you're going to be stuck in there, we better make sure you love that space a little bit more, right? Let's help you love that space again, because you're not going anywhere. You're staying right there. the second piece that came was that, you know, home offices, people were now needing to have remote work and create a dedicated space with that. So again, like when we look at this pathway of like builders and selling houses that are vacant versus staged, it all comes back down to that experience. It all comes back down to you. You're the one writing that check. So you need to fall in love with the spaces that you're going to reside in most, which is, yes, going to be that first curb appeal, but it goes deeper, right? It's, okay, how is the primary bedroom set up? What is the living room and the kitchen experience going to be like? And if you cannot see yourself there, even if it was the most perfect home for you, if you can't have an experience that really buys you into that and be showcasing, no, go with me here. Let's take a journey. You can lose people left and right. Why builders do it. Why we are loving what we get to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I it's great. I love it. I love anything that people buy two things, right? Solutions to problems and good feelings. This is both. So it's a great category. I like it. And I feel it's easy to execute. It's also easy. We're going to get now into your customer. I think the easiest people to find on the planet are realtors. They are. They're the easiest people to find, right? They want to be found. They answer their phone. They put their face and phone number on shopping carts and bus stops. They're the easiest people to market to. Home sellers. I'm selling my home. It's vacant. You need me. I'm a real estate agent. This place does not show well. I need you, right? I'm a builder. Right. I have a spec home. I need you. Real estate investors. I just want to flip this property. I need you. The home furnishing customer, me, hey, bought a second house, don't know what to do. I don't have the head for it. I don't even live there. Can you help me? I love that. We live in a time of Airbnb, short-term rental staging, or rental staging, but I'm going to keep the furniture for my tenants. That sound just,
Right.
And then property managers, how are you going to lease this unit without staging it a little bit? Even assisted living. I took my mom recently to an assisted living facility and it was staged. Little silk plant, little tchotchkes on the wall, pictures of someone else's family, a little, you know, little niche area where she could have her coffee in the morning. Just this really nice stage layout. It's critically important. So did I miss any of your customers in that?
No, you were spot on. You actually tapped into an area that we at Set the Stage were really going to target market to, and that's actually the senior living community and student housing.
Smart.
So when we're looking at, right, like, when we've got mom and dad downsizing into a home that is going to be considerably smaller, your mind then goes to, okay, there is no way what she had in the larger home is going to fit here, function well. We need something that's going to have softer corners or just a smaller scale. So, and by the way, all the kids are busy, right? So I remember talking to someone recently saying it really is. He's heavily involved in this community. And he was saying it's the oldest daughter who tends to make the decisions. Mm. That the boys will help, and that, you know, if there's a daughter in the mix, but the boys will help on the financial level, but it's the daughter. And so when you start unpacking what that experience is like, so much is going on that if you can just tap into a company like Set the Stage that say, hey, take care of it for me. I need it to function this way. Here's some options that we can provide to you. And, you know, let's get mom or dad set up well in this space. So that's an area. And
I
then student housing.
Great. I love it. I'm going through both of them right now. I have gone all these tours. Matter of fact, right now, my family is in FSU touring.
No way.
And yes,
okay.
And it's true. It's like, all right, next we're going to go to housing. We walk through some that were empty. And I'm like, all right, I don't know how this lays out. I need the furniture. I just can't function.
Right.
I cannot make decisions without seeing the layout, the size. Is that a twin? Is that a full? Oh, you could get a queen in here. I don't know. I'm just not,
right.
I'm not there. I just instantly get stupid. I don't understand. And then we walk through other properties that were staged with bunk beds, right? With little desks, with a fake plastic Apple monitor and an Apple keyboard. You
oh,
know
gosh.
What I'm talking about? Yeah, they do the fake stuff with the plastic. But at least it was like, okay, I get how this room flows. So I've gone through both right now in real time in June of 25. I think those are two very intelligent markets to go after. I think they're probably grossly underserved and could use.
I agree.
Yeah. And you know that, like the school, for example, you know exactly what the kid's looking for. It could be an IKEA look and feel, more modern, hip, contemporary, not so chunky. You're not going to put barefoot claws and, You know, that you're not going to go traditional, but in the assisted living facility, you want to remind them of the 50s, 60s, 70s, the 80s. Right. You want to use chunky woods. They like all that traditional stuff versus the more contemporary look. So it's very cool. I happened to grow up, by the way, with an interior decorator designer. My mother actually, just a little plug to my mom. She's now 80. Little plug to her. She actually designed a home around the furniture. This is a cool case. So a builder in Marco Island, Florida, my mother said, why do you put the windows there? You're making it so difficult for the master bedroom. You have these windows. They're not placed properly. Well, the builder finally got tired of my mother complaining about how they were creating these rooms. And the guy goes, why don't you put the furniture in the house and I will build the home around your, quote, quintessential layout. And they did. They built a home.
Oh my gosh.
They designed a home around the bed should be there. The nightstand should be there. This should be here. The TV should be. And they actually built the house around it and ended up making it a model and selling it at Marco Island.
I love that.
She's insanely talented. So just for the audience, to set the stage, right? Market size, 5 to 6 billion is what I came up with. Stop me if I'm wrong. I'm seeing a 5-6 billion market cap for staging. That's virtual and the physical presence. Four million homes.
Agree.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
Four million homes sold last year.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy statistic. Median home price in America is $407,000. So there's no reason to not stage it.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you imagine that this was like 200 grand not very long ago, 250, 280. The median home price in America right now is 407,500. Shocking.
That is shocking.
I know. So
it also doesn't feel affordable, but well,
that's right.
another story for another time.
That's another episode on the unaffordable housing issue in America, right? At any given time in America, you could have 1.5 million homes for sale. That's a lot of potential customers.
That is a lot of potential customers.
Your industry has a growth rate tied to real estate, 4-7% annual growth rate, which is a nice CAGR. 58% of buyers, agents said, the home staging significantly influenced the buyer's perceptions of the home. Some other statistics in here, which I thought were very interesting. Home staging sells 3-30% faster than non-staged homes. And they often sell for 5-20% more. And the more is on the $400,000 asking price, which could that a professionally staged home could sell an average of $40,000 over list price. Very interesting. This is some great data points. Yeah, right? You agree with this?
Well, one thing I'm going to add to that is that when you look at the cost of staging compared to, well, okay, if my home is sitting on the market and I need to take a price reduction to get this thing to move, you have to take a considerable price reduction to get anyone's eyes on that. Or had you rather just taken the investment, invest in home staging, and also roll the dice that I'm going to invest and I should get a significant ROI on this. It's a no-brainer.
So you brought it up. That was going to ask that. That was the follow-up to this. And the ask was, if I could get a $40,000 over list price, let's just say on average, just because it's stage, what was my cost to stage it to increase my percentage of selling it faster, selling it at a premium? What was my investment in you and your brand?
Yeah, you're anywhere between $3,500 to $4,500, depending on the region and the market.
All right, that's peanuts relative to the data, right? This is empirical. These aren't opinions. We're selling faster. We're selling at a premium, all that stuff. That is a great investment to make.
Well, and Cliff, some of the things that set the stage has worked out, like the way that we do our financing for our clients, the way that we set those things up, we really make this so affordable for agents and homeowners that, again, to this point, it just becomes a non-negotiable. The same way that, you know, we're doing drones and we're doing video and photography, we should not be skimping. Like, we don't live in an age anymore where if you're putting your home on the market vacant, I promise you're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I like that $3,500. Let's just say it's $3,500. How long is the furniture in the home for the $3,500?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're finding that homes that stage with us, they're going under contract anywhere between, I mean, sometimes it is the next day, no joke, but anywhere between 7 to 10 days. We encourage our clients to keep that thing staged until the transaction closes, which on average is a 45-day market. And that just ensures that while we've got appraisers and, hey, we're visiting back with friends and family, the experience is still the same. So we're 45 days. But again, going under contract and getting to that finish line starts about that 7 to 10 days and goes on from there.
As a KPI internally, do you measure turn? How many turns on that same product in the marketplace?
Yeah, we're beginning to do that now. We've partnered with some wonderful people who are going to really take a different approach at, you know, mapping things out and keeping track of all of the data that's really going to help our owners and us spot trends.
Okay, great. So you have this 2,000 square foot facility. Let's just use 2,000 as a warehouse. There are items not only in the warehouse, there are items out in the field. How are you managing? Is everything barcoded, right? How are you managing all of these items? How are you quoting jobs? Like, what tech did you bring to the company?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've partnered with really amazing companies that they get the staging industry. They understand what we're up against because we're not a furniture company, right? So we're not going to have shelves stocked full of all of these desks and, you know, 27 couches. I'd rather order that in specific for the client, get it there. So we do, we have an inventory management system. So at any given time, we're able to know where all of our pieces are. And what's really amazing about that is that we're able to now start collecting this data of how long have we had that couch? How many houses has it been in? Is it time now to really push it to turn it over, right? And with that technology, we're able to put these QR codes in every home that the end user can buy it right then and there on the spot.
Oh,
they
nice.
Can buy that. So
nice.
There's a clause in there that says, hey, if you're not purchasing the home, right, you got to wait until this piece is available when the home closes. But we're finding that the person buying the home is often who's buying that. So the transaction piece and that has become even more simple. And then again, it just continually feeds our analytics and tells us what's working, what needs attention, and where do we need to continue to invest? Are we selling a lot of home desks? Are we doing more dining tables? And so it just helps us as business owners make better decisions. But to that point, we couldn't partner with a company that, again, serviced inventory from a furniture perspective because we don't have a warehouse that it just sits on a shelf.
Right.
We have all these bricks and mortars with furniture across our states.
Makes total sense.
So we love this partnership. Yeah.
I love that. It's like it, buy it. I'm seeing that in models now. I'm seeing it in models. I guess these models have people like you staging them. And it's like, look, I'll stage it for free because people are going to buy this stuff. That, you know, really love this vase, really love this artwork. Just scan here, buy it now. I love
that's
that.
That's exactly
I
right.
I think that's smart. Very smart. And that's, again,
you.
Like you said, 50-50 of your revenue is coming from the staging and then selling these products, which is great.
Yeah.
The investment seems pretty reasonable considering you do have warehouse space. I'm showing 190 to 237 in that range. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So what that really gets you, you know, we want to be able to, that when you're opening your doors, you're able to start saying yes. So you're getting just over 5 furnishing packages. So at one given time, you could stage 5 houses.
Okay.
And that's not just like the run of the mill. So we're making sure that you're going to get product in your starter pack that allows you to go into the luxury space as well as our everyday spaces as well. We're getting you an outdoor set, a home office set, one additional family room, but really 5 complete homes worth of furniture. So it's 5 dining sets, living sets, primary bedrooms, everything that would need to be, you know, included for bathrooms. So all your rugs, your plants and your lamps and the decor and the wall art that needs to go with that. So really, again, we want our owners walking out into when they're launching their business with full confidence that they've got incredible quality product that they can put into homes. And then we would take it a step further, Cliff. So we're really intentional around what does that region need? So what I might send to our owners in Scottsdale could be vastly different than our lovely owner in Tampa. And we're really mindful of those pieces.
Right. Absolutely. Definitely. You got geographic differences, right? We love our time in Florida. We have all this Tommy Bahama.
Rattan,
right? All this type of stuff. Right. So this brings us to the earnings claim, which I found very interesting. So set the stage, Southern Utah, is who? A franchisee or you?
They're a franchisee. They're okay. Our very first.
Okay. So set the stage, Salt Lake Valley LLC. Is that you? Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Got it. So I see clearly that 50-50 split between furniture sales and staging income. The cost of goods that I show, right? Explain that. Was that the cost of goods for that 1 year, that one calendar year? And there, let me tell you why I'm asking the question.
Yeah.
I bought all this furniture when I bought the franchise. That furniture has a life cycle. That lifestyle could be several years. I don't have to repurchase 5 homes, 10 homes every single year. I purchased that room once. I could use that home for however long. So I'm trying to understand your cost of goods sold in that calendar year, which was $91,000 for the franchisee. Help me.
Yeah. So keep in mind, though, that if we give you a sectional as an owner and you sell that sectional, you need to go replace it. Okay. Because how you're going to get your next job is you've got to have the inventory. So you're absolutely right. Our furniture does have a life cycle. And some of our pieces, they could stick with us for a while, whether it's the fact that no one wants to buy the sample piece, they want the brand new one. And I'm over here saying, well, I'm not going to get rid of it because that's more than paid for. And that little thing is my moneymaker. But nonetheless, I still must invest. The other piece that you're going to see with a Set the Stage business, we must reinvest back into our business to grow it. So with you starting with 5 furnishing packages, you will run out of that 5 quick, right? That's 5 houses staged. Mm-hmm. So in order to really grow and scale, you do need to reinvest back into your business. And so part of that is that we even teach you, because when you spoke earlier to the margins of furniture, that's a way that if you're smart, right, and you really lean into our model, you're going to pull from that and it's going to go into reinvesting and building your inventory up so you can have more furniture sales and stages that you can do.
So the, not, just to be clear, the total cost of goods sold, there's no labor in it. That is just the cost of the good that you sold. For example, in this example, it was $91,000 of COGS and the total furniture sales were $183,000, which is phenomenal. So you basically doubled your money. Right. I bought something for $1. I sold it for $2.
Yes, correct.
The net is pretty impressive. I don't see labor in here. Help me with the staffing model of this business. I know you're subbing out the delivery with the moving company. What other labor? Do we have an outside salesperson? Do we have someone hitting the street, marketing lunch and learns to realtors?
Yeah. So typically our owners who are walking in, they're the ones that want to be that person doing all the marketing. They want to be the face of their brand and their company, getting in front of agents, investors, builders, et cetera. So the way our model works is we do 1099 labor. You can absolutely pivot that to a W-2 model as well. Everything is at a flat rate. So all of our stagers, they know for this one job, let's say it's a level 1, our stager is going to make a certain amount. So whether she or he takes 4 hours or 2 hours, the rate is exactly the same. It helps us as owner control costs, so we're not hit with any sudden surprises. That was a pivot we made this year as well with our partnerships with movers, was that we wanted to align with movers who understood our model so that we could be more mindful of our bottom line as well, because those surprises in this business are something that we want to eliminate wherever we can. And that's how we've been able to do that. So yes, there is a labor piece to it, and typically 1099.
Give me a number on $300,000 or $400,000 of revenue. How many employees or 1099s, how many staffing members do I need?
Yeah, so Southern Utah, they walking into their second year of business, they, I believe, are 8 or 9 owners. I think most of our owners right now have anywhere between 3 to 5 stagers. Some have more into the 10 realm, and that's kind of where we're seeing a sweet spot.
Okay, got it. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, the net was 177. Now, I know labor wasn't in that number, but you know, how much could the labor have been on 340,000.
Yeah, well, let me share an example that this might help. So if I have a job and we're going to charge, or I'm just going to pull a number out, $2,500. Mm-hmm. When I look at the cost of what it's going for just labor piece, for just Set the Stage, for what I pay my team on a level 1 job, I'm usually anywhere between $220 and $250 total. And that's even the very end of the job to get that product back into my warehouse and stocked on my shelves. My labor cost is actually significantly low. The mover piece is different.
Like 10%, about 10%. Yeah, does that sound right?
Yep. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So what I'm hearing is that, employees don't make money by the hour. They're making money by the staging job.
By the project.
People are not sitting. All right, now I understand why this. All right, now I understand why the P&L has 177 net on 340 of total income. Holy crap, because you don't have people standing there by the hour getting paid. You get paid when we place a job. Then no one's getting paid. You get paid again when we get a job. You're getting basically a percentage of the job.
That's right.
Said differently. I know what you said.
Yes.
You're paying it. Right, right. But in my head, I have to wrap it around like, okay, well, what would labor be? Labor would be 10% of the jobs that we assign to these 1099 people. Very interesting.
Yeah, and typically, then the question often is, okay, well, so is it hard to find people to do this job? Is it hard to keep retention? And everyone is always surprised, but they always find very quickly the answer is no. So we appeal to college students, anyone who's looking, their stay-at-home parents, and then empty nesters. So they're looking something that gives them purpose. They're looking for something that they can utilize creative skills, but they don't want to commit to full-time. They can't commit to even part-time. But man, if you could give them an opportunity to get out of the house a couple times a week for a few hours to go hang with another girl and decorate a gorgeous home, who doesn't want to do that?
Right.
And then you make a little bit of spending money. Like, it's absolutely something that people love. So then we kick it and say, okay, well, can we offer you employee discounts or team member discounts on a furniture? Yep. Okay, well, that's a bonus. That's a plus.
Yeah.
And so we really just attend to that culture and that piece of why they want to be here and that sense of belonging. And that has what has led to our retention being so high. Even with our owners, they're seeing that owner, people who are staying with them 2 years. With my location, we have team members who've been there 6 and 7 years just from the very beginning. So it's exciting and something that people love.
What you said is so true. I've experienced it myself. A lot of investors feel like these types of models, I'm never going to staff it. That's because the investor grew up in a time where we begged our managers when we were young for hours. We begged them.
It is a new normal. Mm-hmm. And then again, it's like even these, to your point, like that works for that generation. And then we've got this other generation of emptiness. And like, well, I want still time with grandkids. And
that's right.
My kids are off to college. And so I want the freedom and flexibility that I don't want to have to request time off.
Yep.
I want to be able to go and just say, hey, I'm gone this week, but I'm back next week. Let me know if there's a project.
We live in a time that there is a seat for everyone. There is a place for everyone.
It's a different world. It's a different world. And we must evolve to it and
exactly.
Speak to it. Otherwise, we're going to just be continually frustrated. So I love that we get this.
Totally. What did we miss, Courtney? Like, what didn't we talk about?
Oh, man. I'm just so grateful for how far we've come. You know, we are an emerging brand still, and we're grateful for all of the growth that we've seen. We've had people early on just being the franchisor and knowing that someone's really trusting us and saying, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to believe in you. And then in return, we're able to say we believe in them. We were very fortunate with our partnership with Fran Growth. They have been outstanding to help us grow and scale and be mindful in how we do it and thoughtful in that approach. But really, it's our franchisees. Like, we are so fortunate to look, when I look out at all of our amazing owners, I feel so incredibly blessed that these people are here. Like, they're adding in such ways. It's shaped and it began to just unlock and open these new pathways for Set the Stage, areas and avenues that maybe we hadn't explored before or in the right way. We're now doing that. And I just continually see us evolving and stepping up again and again. One new announcement that we are doing is that we are really hitting hard with national partnerships. And we've got some exciting ones in the works that we are really chomping at the bit to finally roll out. We do have an option that we're going to do a totally financed pay at close option, which will get our owners the staging income immediately and offer the flexibility to our clients in that payment process. So that's a huge win for our customers. That's a huge win for our owners. And just something that, again, I think continually sets us apart. One thing I can share that I'm very excited about Set the Stage, because I told you we are a furniture company disguised as a home stager, mm-hmm. is that we are really pursuing our furniture line.
Nice.
We have amazing, like, Set the Stage furniture line.
Very cool.
So we already have that in the mattress department. We're going to be partnering well with some of our already key wholesale vendors. And I just cannot wait to roll those pieces out for our owners, as well as just everyone out there who wants to have a set the stage piece.
Very cool. I like it. Well, you're big enough now. You have purchasing power. You have scale. You have reach across states. Absolutely. Look out, Kathy Ireland. Isn't Kathy Ireland and Sophia Vergara, aren't they in that business? Don't they like private
label? Yeah, they're partnered with Michael Amini. He's a great designer and furniture vendor.
That's funny. Good for you. Well, yeah. I really enjoyed having you on the show. Loved learning about your brand. Very unique. Of course, I love real estate. I'm a real estate investor, and I think this is a great category to be in. It's a massive category. I really appreciate you taking the time out to spend it with us. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. I love your show and what you guys are doing.
Thank you, Courtney. Bye now. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.